Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Well, we're going to continue where we left off last week, and that is, how do our minds work, and if God forgives sin and forgets it, why do we remember it on different occasions? Does that mean that God has not forgiven that sin? What does it actually mean? Now, let's look at the human mind. Okay? Let's come here first to Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 21. Mark 7 and verse 21. Now, we're all born with human nature. And our human nature is not the same as it was when God originally created Adam and Eve. And after Adam and Eve sinned, their nature was changed so that they were subject to death and they had a hostile nature to God, which is called the law of sin. So we'll see a little later, Paul writes of the law of sin and death. And you can see this in little infants. They want their own way. They'll fight and squabble and war. The biggest problem is separating them. Okay. Now notice what we are by nature. Okay. Verse 21. Mark 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts. This is by nature. And even some thoughts that we think of as good are evil. And without God's Spirit to guide us, as we'll see a little later on, you're stuck in this conundrum. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, everything that human nature does, right? Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, guile, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness, all these things go forth from within and defile the man. Now let's see how Jeremiah describes it. And let's see from this, Jeremiah 17, okay, Jeremiah 17. And we will see that no man has the power by his own works to save himself. And we also can see that no person is able to extend their life very far. Now, every once in a while, if you watch Fox News and watch Bill O'Reilly, they give a salute to someone who's 95, 102, and so forth, okay? But they still die. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, if a man live 1,000 years twice fold and dies, that's vanity. Well, none of us are going to reach that in the flesh. I mean, we're all going to wear out and collapse before that. All right, but we're talking about the nature, the heart and the mind. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the first thing to remember. You're going to deceive yourself. It's easy to do. Do people live by lies? Yes, they do. Everything that we read of there in Mark 7, verse 21, that's the way people behave, and we're going to see that even though there are heinous crimes committed, there are those who have absolutely no remorse in doing them, and they think they're right. Okay? Now notice, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? A person does not even know his or her own mind without the Word of God to tell them what it really is. And you're not aware of the sins. Oh, you may think, well, you've done some wrong. You may have a little guilty conscience, but you justify that and move on. Right? Okay. So, there it is. Now notice verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay? So God says he's going to judge. All right? Now then, let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Let's see where God is going to take us. So here becomes the problem. How do you get from Mark 7:21 and Jeremiah 17:9 to this? Verse 26, Colossians, the first chapter. Even the mystery that has been hidden from the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. And isn't it a mystery? No one understands human nature. Isn't it a mystery? No one knows what God is doing, yet it's revealed in the Bible. And the Bible is the most published book in the whole world, and yet it is the most ignored. To whom God did will. Now understand this. What we know and what we understand comes from the will of God. We'll be covering that. To make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how's God going to come from total dedication to evil, the carnal mind, hostile against God, to overhear Christ in you? And what is that to do? How is that going to be done? Just turn back a couple of pages. Philippians 2 and verse 5. So here we're describing the beginning, when we start to understand about God, to the ending of it at the resurrection. But first we have to have something in between, which is verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, to have the very mind of Christ. Now you have to let this happen. And it cannot happen without the Spirit of God. So this is what we are going to cover today. All right? Now, let's begin this by coming to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Because this is a very revealing statement. Matthew 19. Let's pick it up here beginning in verse 8. Okay, verse 16. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Now at that time, one came to him and said, Good master. Now was Christ good? I have to say so. Was he perfect? Yes, he was. But notice what he says. And then we will answer the question, why does he say this? Notice. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? Why did he say that? Yes, because he's in the flesh. But what kind of flesh? That's the question. No one is good except one, God. Well, let's ask another question, which is hard for people to grasp. Jesus came to the earth, divested himself of all of his glory as God, was impregnated into the womb of the Virgin Mary, was born as any ordinary human being, lived his life, so forth, and now here's his ministry. Why would he say, don't call me good, when he was truly the only good person on earth? Well, let's come here to Romans, the 8th chapter. Let's see why. Romans 8. Now remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. They were cut off from God. They were sentenced to death to have the law of death within them. Their human nature was changed to be hostile against God, which, as we will see, is called the law of sin. And Paul describes this as the law of sin and death. Now, did Jesus die? Yes. So he had to have the law of death within him. Okay? Just hold your place here. Turn back to Romans 5. Just one page back and come here to verse 12. Okay? Romans 5 and verse 12. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by means of sin came death, so in this way, death passed into all mankind. And they know there is a death gene. And the scientists have been trying to figure out where is it so we can modify it. See? And it is for this reason that all have sinned. Because if you have a nature that is carnal and physical and subject to death, it is also subject to sin. That's why all sin, regardless of their age, it is not what the scriptures say, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I mean, all you have to do is just watch the news. Is sin going on everywhere? Everywhere, every place, every country, every city, every town, every village, every human being. And even the saints have a hard time with it, as we'll see here in just a bit. All right? Now, we'll explain why he writes this here in Romans 8 and verse 1. Consequently, we will get to why he says consequently a little later. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means you have to have the Spirit of God. Okay? How do you get the Spirit of God? Through repentance and baptism. We'll cover that. Okay? Who are not walking according to the flesh. That is just living your life any old way you want to live it. Okay? But according to the Spirit. Now, you can't live according to the Spirit without the Spirit of God. What did God say to the Israelites when they said to Moses, well, everything that God says we'll do. What did God say? Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would. Because it takes the Spirit of God, and God didn't give them the Holy Spirit of God. That's why they were to keep the laws and commandments of God in the letter of the law. And that's what I also explained on how do you understand the Bible, study the Bible. You begin with the simple things, obey his voice, and you start in the letter of the law. But unless you come to repentance so you can receive the Spirit of God, you cannot walk in the Spirit the way God wants you to. Verse 2. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the whole law of the Spirit of life includes repentance, baptism, receiving the Spirit of God, growing and overcoming. That's what the New Testament is all about. Has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Now, what do you mean delivered? Did God, when we're converted, remove the law of sin and death? No, he did not. It even says of the saints that die that it's a delight, it's a blessing from God that you die in the faith. So no. Okay? Were we delivered completely from the law of sin? Did God remove sinful inclinations from out of our being? No. But why did he say, delivered me? Because when you receive the Spirit of God, you now have the Spirit of God to lead you and the Spirit of God to convict you in heart and mind so you can repent and overcome human nature. See? Otherwise, if you're made perfect, soon as you're baptized, receive the Holy Spirit of God. No, we'll talk about what baptism does and why it works the way that it works, which answers the question, why do you still have sin within? And what are you going to do about it? and how do you overcome it, and how do you change? Because by yourself over here, maybe you can improve yourself to do certain things, but you cannot get rid of the law of sin and death. But he has delivered us. Okay? How are we delivered from death? When does that come? The resurrection. Okay? Now we'll talk about the law of sin here in a little bit. Now here's why Jesus did not say he was good, did not even allow someone to come and say, good master. He said there's only one who is good, and that is God. Well, with Jesus as God manifested in the flesh, how many gods were there in heaven? One, the Father, right? Little sidebar. All you sacred namers, don't get mad. The only revealed name in the New Testament of God is the Father, and of Christ, Jesus the Christ. That's it. Okay? Let's go forward here. Verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh. How many people know right from wrong, but still continue to do wrong? Because they're carnal and they're fleshly. Now, maybe if you've been taught while you're growing up, right and wrong, good and evil, you're not going to be so inclined to go out and do things that are sin. You know that you shouldn't kill. You know that you shouldn't commit adultery. You know that you shouldn't steal. You know that you shouldn't lie. You know, well, the one on coveting, most everyone forgets because you're striving after all the things that you want, right? Okay. But you have some knowledge of right and wrong. Now, what we're doing today in this society, we're not teaching them right from wrong. Look at what's happening. Everything is right in their own eyes. All the lawlessness everywhere. See? Okay. All through the weakness of the flesh. All through the carnal mind. So, here's the solution. God, having sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that means exactly as our sinful flesh is sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh was it condemned in? Jesus' flesh. Why? Why? Now, you may have heard some people say, well, for God to judge Adam and Eve that way and give them the law of sin and death within their very beings, now that's not fair. And for every human being to be born with the law of sin and death within them, that's not fair. Well, God works on justice, not fairness. So what did God do? Who was the creator of mankind? You have that first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing came into being except through him. All right? All human nature, all human flesh is a result of Jesus Christ. He was the one who created Adam and Eve, correct? Yes. All right. In order to be a savior for all of mankind, he took upon him through his mother Mary. It was never an immaculate conception with Mary. She had human nature. He received human nature through her and carried within him, in his fleshly being, the law of sin and death, and yet never sin. So you think you have a hard time overcoming sin? Was Jesus tempted? Yes, indeed. Was it difficult? Yes, indeed. Come to Hebrews, the fifth chapter here. We'll see. Hebrews 5, okay? Right, pick it up here in verse 5. Talking about the priesthood and Christ's priesthood. Verse 5. Hebrews 5, verse 5. In this same manner also, Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, that is, on the earth. But he who said to him, You are my son, this day I have begotten you. Even as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. But he could not become that high priest in heaven until he brought the perfect sacrifice condemning sin in the flesh. Okay? Now notice, was difficult for Jesus. Yes, he had the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Father taught him. That's why he was never taught by the rabbis. God the Father taught him, Isaiah 50. Woke him up every morning and taught him. Who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Now what does that mean? The wages of sin is death. God risked everything coming into flesh and taking upon himself human nature and also to fight against Satan the devil. Think of that. Is God just? Yes, indeed. Is God fair? Yes, indeed. He did that for all mankind, and since he is the creator of all human beings, then his life and his death as a sacrifice with his shed blood can be applied to all of those who repent. Because sin was condemned in his flesh on the cross and in his life that he never sinned, though he had the law of sin and death within him. Now, there'll be some theologians that'll say, oh, you're way off base here. All right, let's continue. Who was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared God. Although he was a son, yet learned he obedience from the things that he suffered. Now, we don't know all the things that Jesus suffered. We don't have anything recorded about that. We have some things, but not all. And having been perfected. Now, you might want to underline that. Is God perfect? Yes. Why did Jesus come and take on human flesh? To be perfected as the sacrifice for all human beings and to be able to bring eternal life to them. He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. See? Obey my voice. Simple as can be. Now, some of the things are hard to understand. But as I brought out on Church at Home, it's easy to understand the Ten Commandments. There's nothing difficult about them. See? All right? Obey him. Now, how does this apply to us? Okay? Now, we come back here to the book of Romans. To the book of Romans. Now, first of all, it is God who leads us to repentance. Okay? Chapter 2. Okay? Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads to repentance? You see your sins in the light that you see them. See? And in the light that God sees them. Now we won't turn back there and examine it. But let's talk about the sin between David and Bathsheba and the killing of her husband Uriah. Here's the king, all power, loved God, wrote hundreds of psalms, was a real battler and a warrior, fighting the battles that God told him to fight. So much so that God gave him the plans for his son Solomon, who, by the way, his mother was Bathsheba, to build the temple. Think of that. Now think of all that went in with it, because David did have the Spirit of God. Just like us, we have the Spirit of God, right? Yes. Do we sin? Yes. Now, David really sinned. So did Bathsheba. She knew her husband was gone to battle, correct? Yes, indeed. And apparently, Their house was right next to the house of King David. Right? So, she bathed on the rooftop, knowing that the king would walk by and see her. So she had her part. Now, David made a lot of mistakes. He could have said, uh-oh, no way. Okay? We say today, no way, Jose. Okay? But he didn't. Lust got enticed, right? Okay? Now, let's come to James, the first chapter. Let's see how sin works, even if you have the Spirit of God, if you do not resist it. James, the first chapter. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 13. James 1 and verse 13. Do not let anyone who is tempted say, I'm being tempted by God. Did God tempt David to lust after Bathsheba? Of course not. See? Now notice the process. This happened to David. He saw her and thought, woo-hoo-hoo. Okay. Because God is not tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one with evil. What does God set before us? Choices. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Okay? Now here's David. What's he going to do? What's he going to choose? He had a chance to not get involved, right? Yes, he did. He could have thought, oh, I'll never do that to one of my generals, one of my captains, or maybe a major, because Joab was over him. See? So he didn't put it down. All right? Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away with his own human nature, right? Of course, when Satan tempts you, he gives you a benefit. Now, the benefit was, woo! This would be spectacular with this woman. And she was there bathing, letting the king know, I'm all ready. Okay? So when the king's messenger came, she didn't send a note back saying, tell the king, I cannot come. She could have. Okay? But she didn't. David sent the messenger. Now somebody else is involved and knows what's going on, right? Think of that. Okay? So she came. Now, can you imagine all the servants in the household of David after she came? Then they knew what was going on. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. She even stayed there until she was clean. Went back home. David should not have done that. That's how human nature works. He justified it all the way along. He probably said, well, I'm king. I can do whatever I want. Seems to me we heard that of some narcissist in America. Didn't we? After all, I have great desire for her. Satan will give you a benefit. So she came. Now, can you imagine, the proverb says, what is spoken in secret, a little bird is going to fly away with it. Okay? Can you imagine the waggling tongues that went with that? Can you imagine the next morning when the servants looked around and said, ooh, she's still here. Of course, they knew what went on. Now, the reason I'm bringing this out is because that's how sin entices, okay? And after lust has conceived, it did. It gives birth to sin, and he committed adultery, and she committed adultery. And sin, when it is completely finished, brings forth death. That's exactly what happened, wasn't it? Yes, indeed. So he thought, well, she left, she went home. And then it must have been about 6 weeks later, she sent a message to the king. David, I'm pregnant. What did he do? Said, well, I got to get rid of the evidence. Okay, so he worked it out with Joab, the commander. He wrote a special note to Joab and had a messenger take it to Joab to put her husband, what was his first name now? The Hittite. Uriah the Hittite, okay, right up in the thick of the battle, and when it's there, back away and let him die. So he did. Can you imagine what Joab thought? Now, Joab had to do a lot of dirty work for David, so I don't think he had too good of opinion of David, right? Now, why am I bringing this out? I'm bringing it out to show you the process of sin with the even those who are converted, that unless you overcome it every day, it will take you down. See? Well, we know what happened. He didn't repent of it. Finally, God had to send Nathan the prophet. So he told him about the rich man who took the poor man's little ewe and killed it to make a feast for his friends. David got all angry. And Nathan looked him right in the eye and said, "You are the one." What happened? Everything was in rebellion from that day on. The sin of one man affected the whole kingdom, right? Affected his family. And the child died. God took the life of the child. Can you imagine if that child would have lived with all the hypocrisy of everything that went on? Just think what his name would have been called with the wagging tongues of all of the people talking about it. And if he would have inherited the throne, there would have been absolutely no respect at all. Okay? So David did repent. Now, this is how it comes about. Brings forth death. Do not deceive yourselves. That's what he says here. Okay? All right, now let's come to Psalm 51, and then we'll get back to Romans, the second chapter. Psalm 51, and here is David's repentance. This helps us to answer the question, why God does not take away the law of sin and death from us immediately? Because that cannot happen as long as we're in the flesh. Now notice, here's his repentance. "Have mercy upon me, O God," and he forgave him. Didn't he? Nathan said, "Your sin has been forgiven. According to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions," and all the series of those things leading to that affair and afterwards. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." Now, we're going to talk about the washing of the water of the word a little later, see? You have to have your sins washed away. Now, we will see that is a process. It doesn't happen all at once. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." He could see the greatness of his sin. That's why it talks about that sin may become exceedingly sinful. We'll see that a little later. You know, someone who commits a murder, somebody he doesn't like, that's nothing to him. Doesn't understand about murder. Someone who steals from someone because they have more than I do, well, I'm going to take it. They don't view that as sin. Look at it on the lawless riots that they've had in various cities. They smash into windows, burn cars, loot the stores, take everything, and they're innocent because someone has something that they want and they take, and there's no remorse. Well, David understood what it was after Nathan came and really let him have it. Okay, and he fasted for how many days hoping that the child would live. But it didn't. Verse 4, "Against you only have I sinned." When you sin, it's against God first and then the other people. Everybody suffered from that. See? Good example of what we've experienced with the church, right? Remember what happened? Yes, indeed. Now it's all scattered. Here we are, small groups, getting older, and all of that thing. That's all part of it. See? Affected every one of us. How was your attitude when you were living through those things and finding out what was going on? Miserable. Well, that's how all of Israel was because of the sin of David. And it took him some time to get over it. Okay? And he realized that he sinned against God directly. And this was after, now notice, this was after God promised him that he would never lack for a descendant to sit on his throne. After that fantastic promise, God did not take away that promise, because God's word stands. Done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. That means with the law of sin and death. Not that his mother didn't commit adultery to have him as a child. No. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Because the law of sin and death comes right with conception. Bang. It's right there. Verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Now, that is the goal of repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. Truth in the inward parts. Now, what's in the inward parts before that? Deceit, lying, all the works of the flesh, Mark 7:21. And isn't that true? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And even King David fell to that, did he not? Yes, he did. So he says, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. That's why you're going to learn from the things that you did. See? Now, after you repent of it, we'll answer the question. If you think of that again after you've repented of it, does that mean that God has not forgiven you? No, that doesn't mean that God has not forgiven you, but it means that is a memory of history for you to learn not to do that. See? Now, how about here with David? It's written for all of us. Won't David be surprised when he's resurrected and finds out? Hey? Purge me with hyssop, scrub me clean, and I shall be clean. Wash me, now he says it up here, verse 2, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Okay? Now then, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back, and we will see.